watch her silk dress dancing in the wind. Watch it brush against her skin. Makes me wanna try her on. Like life's so fun, life's so fun. Got my mini skirt and my rollerblades on. Bag on my side cause I'm out till dawn. Keeping it light like silk chiffon. Life's so fun, life's so fun. Don't need to worry about no one. She said I got her if I want. She's so soft like silk chiffon.
Welcome back to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from the top of Burnaby Mountain, where we are on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I'm Robin.
And I'm Nat.
And we just had Jude Ma from out on campus. He's the coordinator for the student group up there, talking about some events for Pride and just to celebrate and be inclusively euphoric in the community.
Yeah, I mean, it's I actually, despite coming to this building very regularly, I actually didn't know that out on campus were directly above us because they are quite they're quite tucked away in the back. You sort of need to know that they're there.
There's a little bit of a food court sort of in the Maggie Benson building, and where the Maggie Benson building and the sub butt up against one another is an open space with, you know, tables and chairs and this wall of microwaves. And if you see the microwaves and you sort of, you know, head towards them and down the hall there, the Women's Center is straight ahead, and out on campus is just straight ahead and on the right hand side before you get to the Women's Center. So they're neighbors up there, but yeah, kind of tucked
for
away.
Sure.
So you have to know what you're looking for to actually get them, for sure. I had a couple of things that were a little bit interesting here, just to fill out the rest of the show today. This came to me as a press release. Actually, both of them came to me as a press release, and I was kind of surprised to know that it's estimated that more than 6,500 Canadians are living undiagnosed with HIV.
Really?
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it makes sense if you're, you know, in early stages of having something, you don't necessarily have symptoms, or even if you have symptoms, you can't necessarily pinpoint, you know, what they might be attributed to.
Your first suspicion is probably not HIV, whatever those symptoms are.
Yeah. And so to sort of deal with that, there's an organization called CADI, and I'm just going to try to figure out what CADI stands for, but I think CADI just might be CADI.
Like the name CADI, K-I-T-I-E?
C-A-T-I-E.
Okay.
C-A-T-I-E, CADI. But what CADI does is they strengthen Canada's response to HIV and hepatitis C by bridging research and practice. And they connect healthcare providers and community-based services with the latest science, promote good practices for prevention and treatment, and they're sort of the official knowledge brokers for HIV and Hep C. And so in terms of, you know, what's up-to-date information, in terms of what's accurate and unbiased, CADI is the go-to place for those things, or that thing. And what they have pledged to do is, as part of a strategy by the federal government, they're going to distribute 200,000 HIV self-testing kits through an online ordering center. And so anybody can order the free HIV self-test kits and find out if they are one of the 6,500 people who may or may not be living with HIV.
I'm kind of curious as to how they developed that number, because surely, I mean, it's quite hard to do a survey of people who don't know that they have something. Was that, I'm guessing that, I mean, that must be based on diagnosis periods or something like that, and it's an estimate from the number of people who were diagnosed, maybe, but who don't, who had not known for a period beforehand. But no, that sounds really great. And I know that over the last decade and so, you know, the treatments available and the quality of life and kind of awareness about HIV has really improved. I mean, from the kind of dark days of the 80s, where it was kind of seen as, you know, your life is over, basically, and you were treated as like a leper. HIV is really something that people can live with and manage now, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The press release, just to answer your question, Nat, is it says here that every day, 4 more people in Canada acquire HIV. And so I guess based on what they're discovering through, you know, people actually going to, you know, their doctor's office, yeah, or, you know, through the traditional means of finding out, they can extrapolate based on that, that there are X amount of people who are going, you know, under the radar.
Yeah,
because,
that makes
sense. You know, last I heard, you know, there was a huge percentage of, you know, northern folks, whether they were Inuit or just, you know, northern indigenous folks, who they don't have a lot of access to medical care. And if they do, you know, sometimes it's just a fly-in doctor coming once a week for a few days to do very specific things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be testing for things outside of.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the gaps in terms of access to healthcare for rural and northern Canadians, and obviously in the latter case, a lot of that is Indigenous Canadians, but also on reserves and stuff, there is, you know, really limited access to healthcare, and especially any kind of specialist healthcare. Like you say, I feel like it's probably focused on, you know, I guess the usual necessities of life, sprained ankles and that kind of thing, rather than, yeah, these things that are not, you know, not too visible, but are, you know, are of critical importance, because, you know, untreated HIV is still very, very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In terms of getting a self-test kit delivered right to your doorstep or your mailbox, self-test, one word, self-test.katie.ca is the website to request. Again, that's self-test.katie.ca. And, you know, if you or someone that you know and love feels like they've been at risk, just to have that peace of mind, you know, either to know or not know, allows you to continue and take the right options for your health. And so, you know, either way, I think it's,
yeah, I mean, it's fantastic that it's not only free, but that it's actually mailed to your house. I feel like that was one of the few good things to come out of the COVID era, is the sort of increasing prevalence of being able to access things via mail, you know, because I think, you know, you would get COVID tests sent to your house and that kind of thing, that there were government services to do that, at least in the UK, and I have to assume Canada as well. So, and, you know, recognizing that is kind of the easiest way to get a hold of things a lot of the time, is just having it actually sent to your house.
Yeah.
It saves you having to go out of the way, which you have to go out of your way.
Well, and sometimes the stigma too, right, of showing up at your doctor and saying, like, oops, I did this thing and now I might have this thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as much as I know doctors try to be unbiased and non-judgmental, you know, I've been in situations recently where, you know, my doctor's body language tells me that she doesn't agree with the decisions that I'm making. You know,
yeah, I mean, and doctors are people too, with all of the fallibilities,
right? And so it's awkward, and can feel really awkward when you're going to someone with something that feels so personal, and especially something like HIV, where there is a lot of stigma and there has been a lot of shame shrouded in it, because of, you know, how it was presented to us, and, you know, all the narrative, all the social narrative that goes along with it. But I think this is a great initiative, and part of what Canada is doing to support international efforts to eliminate HIV as a public health threat by 2030.
Wow.
So that's not very far away.
No, that's kind of coming up at this point. Well, hopefully in the next 6 years, these kind of things will at least reduce it by 2030.
Yeah.
I always feel like these government and sort of international goals on kind of decimal years, they're always very optimistic, but I suppose it helps.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they help.
It's important to have a set date, I suppose.
That means it's time for a song break.
Okay, fantastic.
It's an artist named Lynn here.
Soit j'avance, soit je calme. Mais dans tous les cas, on va y passer. Je sais pas ce qui me passe dans le crâne, le bruit, puis le calme. Mais juste penser à ne pas y penser. Ouais, j'aime pas le goût de ce que j'ai fait, nous. Je veux juste que ça termine. J'entends encore mes torts m'habiter. Devine qui insiste. On tient plus le coup. Je nous ai amenés au bout. Si on a fait le tout, je le referai 20 fois, mon amour. De ce que j'ai fait de nous.
Was a track called Jamais Passe Lego by the artist Lynn here on Intravenous. I'm Robin.
And I'm Nat.
And we have been just in the last 20 minutes and for the next bit of the show taking a look and presenting some information from a couple of press releases that I've received that I think are kind of interesting news-wise. And this one is also health-based. And it's about a report called Seeing Us As We Are, Gender, Sex, and Sexual Orientation Identification in Electronic Health Records. And what it does is the report makes recommendations to include new data fields that would be available across jurisdictions, as well as training for healthcare providers and community consultants. community consultants, because what they've found is that electronic health records need to reflect the unique health needs and full diversity of the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA plus communities, and that they don't right now. And without that, then people are missing out on important health record and medical care and clinical support because their records are incomplete.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to have these things kind of synchronized, and especially in Canada, where kind of each province has its own health service, and then there are some, I think, sort of lower level health services that are delegated for some Indigenous populations and kind of other things like that. It's really important to have these things kind of synchronized. So is this like a federal initiative of some kind? Because I know Canada's healthcare service is so patchy and complicated, and I don't fully understand it.
Yeah, because the federal government is responsible for a certain portion of health, but the province is responsible for the majority of health.
Yeah, I know a lot of the actual execution and management and probably the keeping of these records is a provincial thing.
Yeah.
And I've definitely known that when people sort of move provinces, a lot of that stuff can get lost because they're probably not all on a kind of synchronized way of talking about many things, and this included.
Well, even within our own city.
Oh, really?
You know, if you go and get a scan, for instance, they don't use the same software as your doctor's office, who doesn't use the same software as the hospital or another clinic, or, you know, like nobody's machinery is talking to each other. And so these electronic health records don't translate. And, you know, if I have a surgeon and a general practitioner and, you know, maybe a nurse practitioner at a different clinic, they only know what they know, right? And so I think part of maybe what this initiative is trying to mitigate is how do we get everybody talking to one another so that there's this shared community-based research. And that's actually who the report was done by, was the Community-Based Research Center, the CBRC. And
yeah, I mean, these are both initiatives that are kind of trying to build access and connection and ensure that, patching over those areas where people are sort of falling through the cracks and things are getting lost in both of those cases. And I mean, you know, it's a big world. It's definitely not surprising that, you know, there's these inconsistencies sometimes, but it's really important to try and get that on a level playing field.
For sure, especially in our digital world these days, you know, where we've got so much access to so much information, and we should be able to make a program that talks to each other.
The excuse is not really there anymore. I mean, I know all of these in any kind of hospital or library or any kind of ancient institution that's kind of relying a lot on software, there's so much of, you know, oh yeah, this was designed in like 1980 and we've been using it ever since.
Yeah.
With like slight tweaks. So it's really, these things are often really baked in there.
The report specifically recommends to Health Canada, and so, you know, the umbrella organization of umbrella organizations here in our country, as well as to the provincial and territorial governments, to ensure that these changes roll out in a way that is safe and impactful for the patients and the clients of these clinics that are, you know, part of the community. The main office for the CBRC is here in Vancouver, but they also have satellite offices across the country in Edmonton, Toronto, and Halifax. So you know, I'm sure the study that they did was quite comprehensive in terms of, you know, trying to figure out what people really need and where those gaps in services are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the report in front of me, but I'm just guessing in terms of forms and that kind of thing, I would imagine this would include like a pronoun field, probably separate from a gender field, and then a gender field that has more kind of drop-down options than just male and female. I mean, sometimes they have other, but, you know, they could be more specific.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Like, how much does other say?
Yeah, I mean, there's...
What can you glean?
There's a lot within other, you know, it's two-spirit or non-binary or, you know...
Yeah. And what is that, even if it's, I don't want to say strictly, hardly, you know, about identity, but, you know, if that other checkbox has to do with, you know, something that is more physical and, you know, where there's like, medical needs or, you know, those kinds of things, how do you flesh out what that box is?
Yeah, that they can be described in sensitive but accurate terms, because, I mean, it is medicine. I know that Canada has really been trying to do a lot about this, because also the census last year, Statistics Canada made the recent census, I think, the first one in the world to actually include data on trans and non-binary Canadians, and so they've been able to produce some really insightful reports on that that just I don't think any other country in the world has included that in a census,
which is amazing. Nice to see Canada leading the way there, and if you know we can get something like this off the ground based on this report of need, then hopefully other countries will pick up the baton and run with it as well. So yeah, just a couple of interesting little press releases.
Queer health theme to follow up our discussion with Jude from Out on Campus earlier today.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just a reminder to listeners that Democracy Now! Is coming up at 11 o'clock, as always. It would be a strange day if that weren't the case.
Amy Goodman is an increasingly major part of my life, the more time I spend in the station.
Yeah. Yeah, and all kinds of great programming coming up after that. Repeat episode of the Blurred Crusade at noon today. Todd won't be live until I think the 19th. But lots of archived versions, and I'll get the archive for this show with links and all that kind of business up so that you can follow up not only on what's happening at Out on Campus, but also the link for, you know, the self-testing HIV and also for the report that I've mentioned here from the Community-Based Research Center. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me, Nat. Always a pleasure to, you know, dig into some of these conversations that there's always so much to talk about, and it's food for thinks.
Very fertile ground.
Indeed.
Thank you for listening.
When you use a WarAmps key tag, you protect your keys. If you lose your keys, the finder can call the WarAmps or drop them in any mailbox. And the WarAmps will return them to you by courier for free. Order your key tags today at waramps.ca.